Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
She started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle. Well, no matter who you are and no matter what you've done, come a time when you can make it on your own. And in your hour of desperation, know you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
That song, Lord, I Need a Miracle. And I have needed miracles more than once in my lifetime, let me tell you. God provided me one here just recently, and I find myself in need of another one. But the awesome thing is, the Lord promised that He would provide our needs according to His riches and glory. And He does that through the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, our guest is my little brother, Dr. James H. Kithcart from Houston, Texas. And we're going to be talking about introducing the Holy Spirit. So, as he always says, let me introduce to some and present to others, Dr. James H. Kithcart. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Apostle Ken. How are you?
I'm healthy, happy, terrific. Can't complain any way, shape, matter, or form. Bless going in, bless going out. But as always, I thank you for the inquiry.
I figured that.
I'm pretty consistent.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And I want to greet you and definitely greet Prophet TJ and just say good morning to you and family. And I want to tell you I'm thankful for what you have done and what you're doing with the broadcast. Never feel that it's not it's reverence. It's respected. It's reverence. It's honored. And it's respected what you're doing. And a lot of times when we're doing the work for the Lord, it's not really vocalized or verbalized to us. We just keep plowing, and then we hear the voice of the enemy and the opposition that comes with it. A lot of people don't know there's opposition that comes with you doing global broadcasts as you're doing, and the many people that you're reaching. Nobody really understands that there's warfare associated to that. And trials and tribulations come, but the Bible tells us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Did not say that the weapons won't form, and it did not say that the weapons won't hit us. It didn't say in the Bible that the weapons won't hurt us, but at the end of the day, they won't prosper. And so once again, thank you for what you're doing with the broadcast and giving people opportunities to share their testimonies to the nations. And that's how we overcome, by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimonies.
Amen. Amen. Well, I thank you for the kind words, sir. And yes, I have been under, I must be doing something right, because I haven't been under these kind of attacks in a long, long time. But praise be to God that I am such a threat to the enemy that he has to come after me. But I read the end of the book. We win each and every
Amen.
Time.
Amen. Amen. And that's the mindset. What we've done, what we've learned in what we need to unlearn, but what was taught in Christendom is that if a person is going through a hardship, if a person is going through some type of attack, it's a sign that they are in sin, and that the enemy is running rampant because they're in sin. And so people have learned to hide the battles and the warfare and the different things that they've endured because the churchy people or church folks have accused them of being, you know, in sin and whatnot. And what I have learned over the years, the Bible says we reap what we sow. And so I learned that in the midst of me going through some really tough times, I've sown some good seeds. And I've sown bad seeds, but at the same time, I sowed good seeds. And so if the word is true about reaping what we sow, and I'm sowing a bad season, well, the joy comes knowing that in the midst of the bad season, in the midst of the bad seeds, I sowed good season. And just as the bad harvest came, I'm expecting good harvest to come. And that's the mindset that we have to take into this and realize that if you're a child of God, you're going to suffer. And being taught that you shouldn't go through anything, and if you're suffering or going through a crisis, it's because the devil is attacking you and whatnot. Let me tell you something. The devil can't do anything to a child of God. The devil has no power over a child of God. Truth be told, the devil is under our feet. And he's under our feet because we are in Christ Jesus. It is the same principle as Job. The Bible says Job eschewed sin. He hated sin. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil says, well, you know, why would I attack him? You have a hedge of protection around him. But if you take your hedge of protection from around him, I know that I can make him curse you. And God said, you can do anything you want to do to him. You just can't kill him. And so if I'm here going through something, I know that the Lord has considered me and submitted my name for some testing, some trial and tribulation, not so I can be punished and destroyed, but to it basically embarrass the devil. Because
Amen.
Dr. J. is not going to run away from the Lord. I have no desire. I'm not chasing after Buddha, Muhammad, angels, any other God. I'm not chasing anybody but God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's why I'm not really concerned with what people's opinions are, because a lot of times, I know when I went through the Hurricane Harvey in 2017, people were saying, well, you moved down to Houston, Texas in 2016, and then you go through a hurricane and lose everything in 2017. You must have done something, and you're being punished. And I said to myself, Job lost his children in high winds and destructions in a hurricane type thing. He lost his children. I still have my wife and children. Any type of opposition, it's to show the devil that, yeah, you can do anything you want. This guy is not going to turn his back. And like I said, I had friends that said I was cursed and I must have gone through the hurricane because I did something wrong. And then a year and a half later, they went through a hurricane in North Carolina. And I was like, so I'm here to encourage you. I didn't flip it around on them saying, I guess you must have done something wrong. I was just ministering to them and telling them to be encouraged. The suffering of this present time is not worthy of the glory that shall be revealed. You'll get through this. Take it one day at a time. I never threw it back on their faces that they told me I was cursed when I went through my storm. And here they are a year and a half later going through the identical storm. And they came out realizing, wow, it isn't sin. It's sometimes we just have to go through some trial and tribulation. Let me be quiet and listen to your question, sir.
No, I was just going, you know, it bothers me when, and I'm putting up air quotes, religious people want to point a finger at you and say that you're in sin. Same thing happened to Job. You know, all of his friends was telling him that he, you know, he was wrong here and wrong there. But when you know in your heart that you're not in sin, and I know I'm not in sin, and it, at least not on purpose, you know, and I ask God every day to forgive me for the ones that I don't know that I do. But like the other day when my truck broke down, you know, I'm without a vehicle right now. My truck died on Sunday going, I was headed to the store to get some stuff and it just died. D-E-A-D, dead. I had to call back. So now my wife and I are without a vehicle, but I'll tell you what I did. As soon as it died, as soon as I got it off the road and parked safely, I got out of that truck and I started praising God. I started thanking Jesus, you know, because the Bible tells us to praise God in all circumstances, even the worst. And I know that when I sing praises to him in adversity, that he hears me. And I know that we're going to come out smelling like a rose because my God has always taken care of us. It's just, you know, he just crushed a big mountain for me the week previous. And, I'm so thankful for that, too. Let me tell you, because I didn't know how that was. Pardon?
I'm getting ready to get in trouble, but I'm going to say this over this broadcast. If there's anybody out there in this blog, on the blog radio and on the radio broadcast that has a vehicle sitting in their driveway, and there's an extra vehicle, and they're trying to figure out what to do with it, I want you to contact my big brother, Apostle Ken, at area code 256-227-3113. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. And I am asking that if somebody has an extra vehicle, now don't, I'm not talking about a car with no tires and no engine, just a hole. And that you want to get. I'm talking about a vehicle that works, whether it be a truck, you know, a pickup truck, or a car, a sedan. I want you to give Apostle Ken a call because there's a lot of people out here in the world that have a lot of excess things, and they're trying to figure out what to do with these excess things. And these are the things that God has laid up for other people to be a blessing. And I don't know what's going to happen if you bless Ken with this vehicle. I'm not asking you to sell it to them. I'm asking you to give it to them. Yes, I said it over the broadcast. I'm asking you to contact him, area code 256, phone number is 227-3113. Give him a call and say, I have an extra vehicle, and I'd like to just give it to you. Let's do that. All right, sorry. That was a sidebar, but this, we have to do things like that. You saw me a couple of weeks ago. It was my birthday, and I was traveling to New York, and I wanted to have some spending money. And I've worked, and I don't preach for money. You know, I don't take up offerings and anything like that. If people want to bless, so be it. But I don't stand there and say the Lord's going to bless you if you give me $500 and this line I'll give you a I don't play that. And so
me neither.
The Lord said, just ask. He said, just ask. So I said, this is not a ministry. This is for me going on vacation. I don't know. You might not get the promotion. You might lose a job. I'm not telling you that you're going to get the house or you're going to get the promotion. I don't know anything about that. I would just like some spending money. And I didn't say, if my ministry has been a blessing to you and what I've done over the years has blessed you, please. I didn't do that. I said, I'd like some spending money. And the Lord blessed. The people sowed seeds and blessed. And some people were saying, I'm sorry, I only have $5. And I told them, if a person asks for spending money and asks for vacation money, $5 added to other dollars is money. $5 is big. So don't ever think that a $5, if you even sold $1, $1 is something. I can do something with $1. So, you know, never think that whatever you're giving is, it's so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed. All I could get was $5. And please, $5 is a blessing. A dollar is a blessing. 50 cents is a blessing.
Amen.
If you give a quarter, it's a blessing. Amen.
Well, it's been a while, but, you know, I have given away vehicles before. More than once. And I've also received vehicles before, more than once. I just know that God's in control, and I know that I can't worry about things. I'll be honest with you. I've been car shopping, and it's driving me up the wall because I have very limited funds for shopping, but I do have a good credit report, so it will work out. This I am positive of. We do have one caller. We had two callers on the line just a minute ago, but one dropped off. We do have one caller. Caller, hang in there. We will get to you shortly. But first, I'd like to give James the opportunity to talk about a live broadcast that's coming up tomorrow night on Facebook called Introducing the Holy Spirit, which,
amen.
You know, everybody needs to know the Holy Spirit. You know, I've met a lot of people who are saved, but they haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They have received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is a pretty cool thing in itself, because I always remember when I gave my life to Jesus at a young age of 12, I remember the indwelling of the Holy Spirit coming in and changing me. But I also remember when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how everything changed. It was amazing.
Yes.
So I'm going to turn it over to you. I'll kick back and listen and talk a little bit about what's coming up tomorrow. And what do you mean, introducing the Holy Spirit?
Okay. Well, you know, we did the Global Fire Revival during the summer, and we started around May 22nd, and every Wednesday night and Thursday night, we were doing a 7:30 p.m. broadcast, and we had many people from around the world get an opportunity to minister. And I felt like this, that's what the Lord was saying. We've seen broadcasts or we've seen revivals where it's just a one-man show or a one-person show. And the Lord said, utilize the people from the nations. So we had Pastor Judelo Donato from Cebu, Philippines. We had pastors from India, pastors from Africa. We had people from around the world that were on the broadcast, and they had specific nights that they were doing their piece to the puzzle. And we had a great time. And that ended the 27th of August, 2020. And the Lord spoke to me clearly and said, I want you to do a fresh wind fall revival. And, you know, naturally I was like, well, okay, Lord, when do you want me to start? And the Lord shared with me, I want you to do a one-night introduction, introduce the world to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, so I when I dialogue with the Lord, people say, well, how do you hear the Lord? I hear the Lord in my heart. I've heard audible two or three times, but I hear the Lord in my heart. And so I want you to be clear on that. There wasn't a fog or a mist that showed up in my room, and I sat there and talked to a fog or a puff of smoke or whatever. It was a heart conversation with the Lord. And he said, I want the world to be introduced to the Holy Spirit. It said people, he said people don't even reverence the Holy Spirit. They call him things like it or something made me do that or something or it made me feel good or it made me shout. And the Lord said the Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a person. And he is part of the, he is a person in the triune. And the triune being the three, the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he is a person. And he can be grieved. He can be grieved. And he can depart from you. And so he said there are many facilities that say that they belong to the body of Christ, but they have never been introduced to the Holy Spirit. Truth be told, to take it even further, they've associated the works of the Holy Spirit at times to witchcraft, which turns out to be blasphemy. Anytime you attribute anything that the Lord is doing and call it the devil, you are blaspheming the Lord. And, you know, it's pretty unpardonable. And there's a price to pay for that. And so out of ignorance, and I'm not saying the people are stupid, I'm saying out of poor teaching or out of being ignorant to the fact, people received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit but had no knowledge of the actual baptism of the Holy Spirit, and taking it even further, the outward manifestation of even speaking in tongues. And so I can't knock the denominations that don't believe in that and that say that there's no such thing and whatever. It's no such thing until, well, like I did when I was in Japan, and the Lord was saying, you know, I was working in a ministry, and the Lord said, call this family up. And I was calling families up that were a part of the church, and I checked out with the pastor if I could call these people. And he said, yo, you can call, but make sure that anything that you give them, prophesy to them, you type it out and give it to me also. And so families, I was calling families, and the father and, the, you know, the husband and the wife were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit at home over the phone, and then children were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, uncles, aunts that were visiting Okinawa, Japan, uncles were visiting and whatnot, mothers and fathers were visiting, and they were getting baptized in the Spirit over the phone. And what I heard many people say is, I've been saved, one guy said, I've been saved for 70 years, and I have never experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit until today. I said, you're telling me you've been saved for 70 years and you've never spoken in? Never. I never even understood the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I never understood tongues, so I just left it alone. And to hear people say these things and then to travel around the world and pray for people and pray that they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and see them filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues on the spot, that's a miracle to me, and that is absolutely phenomenal to see these things happen, and it's only through the power of the Holy Spirit that a person can be filled. And so that's what I wanted. So that's what the Lord put in my heart, to do a one-day revival. It's a one-night revival. It will be tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 Central, and all the other time zones. You back it off an hour. If you're heading out west, and we're going to just have a dialogue, and I've got some, the Lord's blessing with some dynamic friends as yourself. Apostle Ken Borden Burrow will be on the broadcast. Chief Apostle Lewis S. Greenup, Pastor Gene Calvin, Apostle Sylvia W. Cunningham out of Fredericksburg, Maryland, Ecclesia Ministries, Apostle Valerie A. Jackson out of Made in This Image Ministry, And we've got a couple other people that were kind of pending. I told you about Pastor Gene Calvin. He's going to be on there. He just moved to Florida. And Apostle Jennifer Merritt out of Dale City, Virginia, is going to be on. And then there's a couple other people, like I said, that are kind of they tentative said that they would be there, but I didn't want to put their names out there because they're not really sure if they can make the broadcast. So no problem. You know, Apostle-elect Charles Ellis is not sure. He's hoping he can, but he's not sure at this time. And we're just going to have a panel, and we're just going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're not going to be preaching. We're not going to yell at you. We're just going to talk like a fireside chat about the Holy Spirit. And I felt like the best way to introduce the Holy Spirit to people is not to be so churchy and religious, just talk to the people about the Holy Spirit and let people hear all the other experiences people have had with the Holy Spirit so that they will get to the point where they say, okay, maybe there is some truth to this Holy Spirit that they're talking about. And so 55 minutes into the broadcast, I want to also say Apostle Charles Daniels, who was my pastor in Okinawa, Japan, who really was the one that birthed me into ministry, is going to be on the broadcast also. Integral part of my ministry as I was a wildfire-breathing battery gunnery sergeant on Tuesday, saved on rededicated my life on a Wednesday, and on fire for the Lord since. And, you know, he brought me into their fellowship at the United Missionary Baptist Church in Okinawa, Japan. And I just never forget how him and his wife said, hey, we both had a dream about you. I said, a dream about me? He said, yeah, I had a dream, and my wife had a dream a day later. And I didn't tell her about the dream, and she didn't tell me. Then all of a sudden, we just came together and started talking, and we mentioned your name. And my wife said, well, I had a dream about him. And he said, well, what was the dream? And she said, it had to do with ministry. He's called, but he doesn't think he's qualified because of him just being, you know, rededicating his life and whatnot. And he said, well, I had a dream 2 days ago, and the dream was there was a fire burning in him, but he wouldn't get up and move forward because he didn't think he was qualified, nor did he think he was even good enough to walk in ministry. He felt that the things of his past, he would never be worthy. And truth be told, you are never worthy of ministry, but you are called, and your past is stepping stones to your future. And so when they came, they told me, yeah, the Lord gave us a dream about you, and we're calling into ministry. So that's work of the Holy Spirit. That's some of the signs and the works of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals. He reveals all things. And never forget it. It was just amazing. I got baptized for the first time November 7th, 1997. I had been saved since March 19th, 1974, but this was my first time in the water. And my class was supposed to be a week long, you know, a week of classes, and then you go through the process of being baptized. And the pastor said, do you know anything about being baptized? I said, the baptism is the outward manifestation to the world that you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and that you want to represent it, let it be seen before men that your faith is open, your faith in Christ is open. He said, that's your class. You'll be baptized tomorrow. I cried my head off. And here I am, a gunnery sergeant, bad gunnery sergeant, and I'm sitting there next to the pastor, and I'm crying my head off because he said, you will be baptized tomorrow. I got baptized in the water that morning at church. And that evening, I called my parents and told them, you know, they were in Akron, Ohio. God rest their souls. They're both deceased now. But I told them, I got baptized in the water today. And my mother was like, you got baptized? And I was like, yeah. She said, James, you, of all people, you got baptized? I said, I got baptized. And then my father was like, well, what else do you want? I said, one of these years, I would love to speak in tongues. And my father was like, what do you mean one of these years? I said, well, I know it takes time and, you know, I have to read the Bible and study and pray and whatnot. He said, you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit now. He said, I write these scriptures down. So he gave me some scriptures, Acts 1 and 8. He gave me Acts 2, verse 1 through 4. And then he gave me Luke 11, 9 to 13. Then my mother gave me 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 1 through 12. It just said, read those and then pray and then ask. And I said, okay, well, I love you all. Have a good night. And I didn't have any anointing oil, so hear me clearly. I went into the kitchen and got some bacon dripping, some grease from the bacon, and put across my head. And I went to I was a home alone, and I went to the bedroom and got on. I read the scriptures, and then I got on my knees and said, "I have read the scriptures, and I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit." And Apostle Ken, I lift both hands up in the air, and I said, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I physically, and no one can ever take this away from me, I felt as if my mouth was wide open and my head was back, my hands were lifted. I felt a force being poured into my mouth, going down my esophagus, all the way down to my toes. And then shot back up and out of me, and I was speaking in tongues instantly. Nobody in the house, nobody laying hands on me, nobody trying to beat the Holy Spirit into me or beat the devil out of me. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I called my mother and father back that night, and they said, well, we just got through talking to you 15 minutes ago. What's wrong? I said, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And my mother was like, oh, come on, James, come on. It takes years. It took me 3 years. So how can you're telling me you got baptized in the Holy Spirit? And my father said, if you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, just speak now. And I just went straight into tongues. I went straight into tongues. My mother's weeping on the phone. My father's rejoicing. And then he gave me the interpretation over the phone. And the rest is history. And so nobody can steal that from me, and nobody can tell me, well, right. You know, that was just an emotional event, and you think I got baptized in the Holy Spirit because Gunnery Sergeant Kithcart could fuss and cuss and yell and raise it with the best of them. And the next morning I went to formation, there was no profanity, there was nothing coming out of me, I was still forceful, still demanding, whatever. But it was all done in decency and in order. And my CO, my commanding officer, called me into his office. And he said, what happened to you? I was like, what do you mean? He said, what happened to the fire-breathing dragon that I had that used to cuss and fuss on Monday morning formations? I said, sir, I'm saved, and I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and I don't have to cuss to get my point across. And he looked at me, and he tried to get me relieved. A couple of months later, and a saved Master Gunnery Sergeant E9 overheard the plan and contacted me at regiment. He said, I want you to, he said, Gunny, come on up here to regiment. I have something to tell you. He said, I was walking by the colonel's office and I heard your CO and first sergeant trying to set you up to relieve you. And I caught them. And I want you to come into my office and we're going to confront them together. And we did that, and after we confronted them, the Master Gunnery Sergeant, and oh, by the way, I just want to tell you, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God also, and he's my Lord and Savior, and I'm not going to let one of my brothers in Christ get destroyed over some people that don't believe in some non-believers. And I was just amazed at how the Holy Spirit set that up. You see, the Holy Spirit is not bound to a church building.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit moves freely everywhere. The Holy Spirit moves freely everywhere.
That is so true. I remember, I will always remember, the day I received baptism of fire. I was getting ready to hop in the shower. Okay? I guarantee you there wasn't nobody else in that bathroom but me. Mm-hmm. And that fire hit. And I didn't know what it was at first. It kind of scared me at first. Then I realized it was God, and it was just, it just poured down. It just kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And I was like, oh my goodness. But when it was finished, I knew that my life had been changed forever. I remember walking in and telling my beautiful little bride, I said, God just did something, sweetheart. I said, I will never be the same again. And she looked at me with those big, beautiful eyes and said, yeah, boy, I've heard this before. But the truth of the matter is I have not been the same again. And she'll tell you that's true, too. We can't limit the Holy Spirit in any way, shape, manner, or form. And the more, you know, now as I'm getting into my older years, and this, especially this past year or so, I have learned that there is no limitations to the Holy Spirit, none whatsoever. What I used to think had to be done doesn't have to be done. All we have to do is just be willing vessels to speak blessings to people, to speak healing to people, and God's going to do what God's going to do. We do have a caller on the line, James. I want to get to her. I know who it is because she messaged me. And this is a woman who walks in the numinous power of the Holy Ghost. And she knows all about the Holy Ghost. And she used to be an atheist. So, good morning, Isabella. Are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to both of you. God bless you. Love you.
Love you too.
This woman is filled with the Holy Spirit and has fire. What do you mean she wants the fire of the Holy Spirit? She's baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaks with fire.
Yes,
that's
amen.
True.
That's true.
That is so true.
You know,
I thank God that I was going to say, I thank God that he made sure that her path and my path crossed. And it's been a very interesting and awesome relationship. And I praise God for it. Go ahead, Isabella.
You amen. See, that's right. That's the only reason I held back what I was going to say, because I knew there were compliments coming. Amen.
I'm getting you.
Yeah, keep on. No, but I was listening to you guys, and for the both of you about the Holy Spirit, experience with the Holy Spirit, baptism, speaking in tongues, etc. And I like to share, yeah, Ken was right. Well, I say quickly, maybe that's not the right way to say it, that I was an atheist. I didn't know who and whose I was because I wasn't brought up with God. And I thank the Lord that he loved me enough to intervene in my life and to reveal to me who I am and to use me as much as he does use me to his glory. Thank God. But I asked the Lord, I said, please, Father, I would like to speak in holy language. And I asked the Lord, I was greedy. I said, I don't just want to speak like men do in a holy language. I want to speak the tongues of angels. I want a vast variety of words. I want the you understand? And so the Lord gave me one word for 3 years. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, Father, is this your sense of humor? I've asked. I said, I want more than just what I hear from people. And you give me one word? So I've walked around for 3 years with one word, Asher Harabas. And meanwhile, I write in holy language now, and the Lord gives me translations for individual words. So I have pages upon pages of individual holy words translated. Okay, but the word Asher Harabas that I was given, I carried it for 3 years, and I kept asking the Lord for the translation. To this day, I have not received the interpretation, the translation for this word. But what happened was one sudden day. And why I mention this is because, James, what you were just describing, how the Holy Spirit spoke to you, is very similar to what I went through. I was at a house, well, I'm just going to say it, at a gay man's house. When I entered his property, I said, Lord, I feel evil. And I've heard the Holy Spirit say, many immoral sexual perversions are being done here. And I felt as if I was, as if the grass on his property was just the cover, like a blanket over hell. That I felt the hellish presence there. So, and I was in this gay man's house in his living room. And mind you, for 3 years, I only knew one word in holy language. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit said, anoint the doorpost. And so I figured, I started to walk towards the front door to anoint the doorpost. The Lord said, no, anoint the doorpost from the living room and do not cross it. I found it strange, but who am I to question God? So I took, and the Lord made clear that there was not to be a gap between the line that I drew all around, up and down, all around with the holy oil, with my finger. Okay, and the Lord said, do not cross it. Suddenly, just as similar as what James went through, the Holy Spirit came into me. I felt my mouth started to speak so fast. And I don't know how to describe what happened next, which was I felt as if I was standing next to my body, right, to the right side of my own body, and I was looking at my body. And my mouth was moving very fast. And I was speaking, it was what the body was speaking in holy language. Suddenly, I felt I was back in my body. The Holy Spirit kept on speaking through me. I was amazed at how fast. I was just in awe altogether. And I found myself realizing that I'm pointing my sword, my right pointer finger, towards the kitchen that was directly through the opening of the living room, door frame, whatever you want to call it. And as I kept on speaking in holy, as the Holy Spirit was speaking through me, I've seen a demon manifest, came halfway out of the wall. You could say up to the waistline if I was to describe it. And I kept on. I was just speaking in holy language, speaking, pointing my sword at him. And at that moment, I still didn't even know what I was pointing. I thought I was just pointing a finger. Come to find out, that was my sword. Okay? And I've seen that thing move along the wall, along the fridge, along the wall, whoop, out the side door. A young man was sitting on by the steps on the side door of this gay man's house, reading a book. He got up, his eyes were huge. He said, did you see this? I said, well, what did you see? He said, a demon. I said, that's right. And from that moment on, I have such a vocabulary. I have noticed that the Lord has answered my prayer. He has given me such a vast, huge vocabulary in holy language, and it also I was amazed to see the power when we just speak in holy language, when the Lord comes upon us, the Holy Spirit, that the demons cannot even hide. They have to come out of their hiding. And from that point on, it was empowering to me, so to say.
Amen.
Yes.
I'd like to add, there's one thing that I've learned over the years, after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it did not take long for me to realize the authority that God gives to us, the believers, when you speak in tongues. It's amazing. When I first started speaking in tongues, I didn't understand what was going on, but God would give me interpretations from time to time. I don't even seek interpretation anymore because I know there's power, and I do mean power.
Amen.
In praying in tongues. I don't believe Isabella or myself or you could operate in the gifts that we have without the Holy Spirit. In fact, I don't.
Amen.
We need the Holy Spirit. He is everything. I mean,
that's
I tell
right.
people from time to time, I have told people this, and I'll stand on it as long as I live. Even Father God and Jesus hold the Holy Spirit in reverence.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said, you can talk bad about me, you can talk bad about my Father, but you better not say nothing bad about the Holy Spirit. And the reason I believe he says that is because the Holy Spirit is the greatest servant of God that has ever been in existence. He was there in the beginning, ready to obey God's commands in a nanosecond, and he's still doing the same things today. He is the greatest servant of all time.
Yes.
I'm sitting here in awe right now, and I'm going to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 12, and I'm turning to it. I have no idea what I'm getting ready to read. My
thank
goodness.
You, Jesus.
Isaiah 43, verse 12. I declared and saved and proclaimed, when there is no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. My God, I feel like crying right now. And the reason why I feel this is because the Lord gave me the interpretation of Ashabatica. Ashabatica.
Ashaharabas.
Yeah, Asha Katobas, and he had me spell it A-H-S-H-A-C-O-T-O-B-A-S. And I said, well, what does it mean? And he said, it means the Lord is merciful. And
yo,
here
hallelujah.
He sent me to Isaiah 43, verse 12. And it says, I declared and saved and proclaimed, when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. I am God. He said this very clearly for you, Prophet Isabella.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I really have to get something under control right now. But the Lord said, to tell Isabella,
Jesus,
that
Lord.
There is nothing, no thing, nothing from yesterday, from your yesterday, in other words, nothing from your past that discredits you for the work that he's called you to. There's nothing that could be brought as an accusation. There is nothing that can be brought to you to shame you. There is nothing that could be gossiped about you that could cause you to insult you. There is nothing that you have been doing good, bad, and ugly that disqualifies you and discredits you, because he says, the Lord, I, the Lord, am merciful. And so what I'm sensing the Lord is saying right now is for you to break out of the shell, come out of, I see like a embryonic, not the pericardial sac, but the embryo is inside the placenta. I see you in like a placenta, and you have been functioning in a placenta, but now you are being birthed and pulled out of the placenta, and you
Lord
are breathed and nourished on your own, and function in greater realms of the spirit, not trying to just exist or not just trying to birth something or not just trying
but
to do a little bit of basic ministry, but doing ministry knowing that the grace and mercy of God is sufficient and that anything that could be brought against you as a railing accusation, the Lord says, I am merciful.
I am holy God,
and I foreknew you before the foundation of this world, and there is nothing that can be brought to me about you that I did not already know, and I yet chose you before the foundation of this world. And so, as of this day, with your permission, Apostle Ken, because I want to make sure I respect the broadcast, can I pray this prayer over Prophet Isabella as I'm being instructed?
Go right ahead, brother. Go right ahead.
Amen. Father, I stretch out both hands towards Prophet Isabella, and as of this instant, I grab hold of the placenta and rip the placenta open and present Prophet Isabella Jones into a completely different realm of the spirit, way higher than she has ever soared for your glory. I thank you that there are no tethers, there are no latches, there are no ball and chain, there are no shackles, there's no rope, there's no chain, there's no coil wrapped around her to prevent her from moving into realms of the spirit that are absolutely unthinkable. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus and ask for your mercy for the ones that have put their mouth on her over her lifetime and said things that were contrary to who you are. I'm asking that you would, I stand in the gap and ask that you would forgive them. Forgive them, Father, for they knew not who they were dealing with. And I'm asking, Father, this day that as Isabella soars into the realms of the Spirit, that there would be a tangible manifestation of your grace and a tangible manifestation of your mercy that abides with her all the days of her life. I thank you, Father, that the airways have been made clear, television waves have been made clear, broadcast ways have been made clear. Short poems, books that are just a series of short poems will be written and penned according to your glory. I thank you that the revelation and the revealing of the true Prophet Isabella Jones is this. And I give you the grace, I give you the praise, I give you the honor, and I give you the glory that it is so. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus. I'm getting out of the way. I'm getting out of the way.
I claim it and I receive it, and I have to give you a confirmation of two things. I have, as you know, my life is filled with the supernatural, and I have so many testimonies that one could write a book on each page, a testimony, and it's been offered to me to write a little book and to make little short films with each testimony, and then, like you said, like short poems, but each little short booklet has a testimony on each side of it. And another confirmation, it's been the Lord told me that he has kept me on a harness. He has restrain me because I'm so wild, so eager to walk into hell to destroy all devils and demons and to blow up hell into pieces once and for all. And the Lord and the Lord told me He's kept me like a wild little lion on a harness, and when the time is right, he is releasing me. And what you just spoke is just a confirmation. And I know, because the word, I keep hearing the word dunamis, an explosive. The ministry is going to explode. And yes. I'm bursting with it. And one more thing you said, you spoke when you were praying. Let me tell you guys real fast. A few years back, I've seen demons in spiritual forms. And one day the Lord literally pushed me out of the bed. I felt his hands pushing me out. I end up going to this church. And I said, Lord, okay, why am I in this church? Why am I here? Come to find out of the whole congregation, only myself and the old, almost 90-year-old pastor, only the both of us could see this devil that was there. He was about a good 8 feet tall, dressed in primitive clothing. His shoes were rolled up in the front like snails and pointy. He looked like he came out of the age of Grab Dracula or something. I don't know, some primitive age. Anyhow, the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, devil. Just the key word, devil. And as I was approached, he left the church, and okay, the Holy Spirit said, go after him. Okay, I didn't know my way. I had no sense of direction. I said, which way? The Holy Spirit told me, make a left, make a this, make a the other. Found myself in the back of the church. He was waiting, standing on me like a soldier, legs apart, fists built up by his groin. His eyes were rolled all the way back, and I said, Lord, I've come against thee. I've never seen one this tall into the human body. I said, my God, see, you're going to have to speak through me, act through me, because I don't know what to do. And the Lord audibly, like the strongest base system, said, fear not, for the whole heaven is with you. So since then, that moment in my life. So, of course, I pointed my sword at him and I said, in the name of Jesus, who are you? And nothing but curse words came out of him. So I charged at him because I'm thinking, hey, no, God just told me the whole heaven is with me. I might be 5 feet five, but hey, the whole heaven is with me. And God just told me this loudly. So I charged at that thing. Okay, and I spoke the word of God, rebuked him, commanded him to leave, and he took off like Speedy Gonzalez from the cartoon, which also was supernatural. What a human cannot move this fast. Well, anyhow, since that moment in my existence, I am very empowered because the Lord has promised me that he is at the whole heaven is with me. Amen.
Well, I hate to interrupt y'all, but I got to interrupt you right now. We only have a couple of minutes left. I am blessed that two of my favorite people are on the program today. I love both of you with all my heart. But I must say, because I'm going to do this on each and every program, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day of salvation. It's not difficult. All you have to do is ask him to come into your heart. Bible says that if you confess you're a sinner, and we all are, and you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and 3 days later rose again, that's all you need to know. Just ask him in. Say, prove it to me, Father. Prove to me that Jesus is your son, and he will come into your heart. We got one last phone call, but unfortunately we don't have time to take the phone call. I do appreciate you calling in, though. God bless you.
Amen.
Can we
copy
that number?
Pardon, James?
Is there a possibility we can copy that number of the caller and then we can do a three-way call on our own cell phones after the broadcast?
Right.
Is that possible?
All right. Well, give me a second to grab a piece of paper here.
Okay. Or if you call
anyhow,
out what the number is, I can.
Real quick. Recap, tomorrow night. Tell them about tomorrow night, James.
Tomorrow night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, we have a panel of people, and I'm going to do an on the spot, just say that we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be like the Brady Bunch. When that show used to come on, you could see all the different faces in the panes, and that's what the panel is going to be like. We're just going to have a fireside chat about the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a church service. It's going to be an introduction to the world of who the Holy Spirit is, and the rest is history. Amen.
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 The Holy Spirit is so awesome. God bless both of you for joining us today. We'll be back next Wednesday on the Healing Light Show. I'm your host, Ken Burrell. Stay blessed and be a blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrell. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory. You have been listening to the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrell. Prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.